Her thought, the Lord laid upon her heart this morning, is led by the Spirit. And we can make it without having a great big crowd. It's done been mentioned where two or three gather in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. We can make it without a lot of things, but we cannot make it without the Spirit of God. We need Him. And the Spirit is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we treat God the Holy Spirit just like something different. And so we need God the Holy Spirit. And I worry about our churches anymore. And that's one of the biggest things I worry about is us getting to where we take the Spirit of God out of our services, out of how we do things. I really believe that's what makes us different than anything else. I believe on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come to the church in the way of the Comforter, and we've been set apart in that way. I believe the Holy Spirit is what lets us know that we're lost. It convicts. The Holy Spirit is what lets you know when you're saved. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. We can't make it without the Holy Spirit. I could go on and on the duties and the jobs of the Holy Spirit. And I really believe God does place the members of the body as it pleases Him. When we get to the point when we tell people that they're following or not following the Spirit, you're not far from telling people when they have or have not got saved. This really, really dangerous. If somebody tells me they step up here and they're following the Lord and following the Holy Spirit, unite with this church, I have to believe them. When somebody stands up and tells me the Lord just saved their soul, I have to believe them. You say, well, the fruits are showing, they will. It all come out. But I have to take people on their word, and that's what makes us different. So we always need to let the Holy Spirit direct us and be led by the Spirit. And when our churches stop doing that, we'll stop being churches. And I don't mean to be critical in that, but I'm just, it's the truth. We have to have the Spirit. I'm going to read out of Revelations chapter 21, and we're going to go around and look at a few different places, the Old Testament. I don't think following the Spirit of God is that hard. I really don't. When He convicted me, I knew it. Did you not? Amen. When He let you know you was lost, did you not know it? When He saved your soul, did you not know it? When that peace come in, did you not know it? When He led you to tonight, Brother Teddy, when you come busting up through here, that day when He led you tonight, did you not know it? I mean, Brandon, I remember when He led me and my wife. We fit it for a week or two, but I know when He led me to do it. I can tell you I was standing right here beside this pulpit when God let me know I was going to pastor this church. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit makes itself manifest, and He can lead us and show us. Sometimes we make it more difficult than it ought to be. But I want to read to you, as I said, we could read the whole chapter. We're going to start reading in the ninth verse of the 21st chapter of Revelation. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had of the seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride of the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven of God, and having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, a precious, even like to a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and had at the gates 12 angels, and then the names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And on the wall of the city were the 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed measure in the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height and of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And that's reading down to the 17th verse, and our thought is up there is when it said that he was carried away in the spirit. And the spirit and the angel took him up in the mountain and showed him the Lamb's wife, and showed him the New Jerusalem coming down. And I believe the Spirit of God is still able to lead us and show us what we need to do. I've stood up here many a time, and sometimes I've stood up here, I'm not going to lie, not being where I need to be and just look at a congregation of people. But I've been where the Spirit of God was so manifest in this place and with me in such a manner that I would look out here and I'd see the Lamb's wife and the New Jerusalem coming down. And that when we're where we need to be, he can show us. He can show us where we need to be. He can show you what the Lord's church is and what it looks like. And I believe that in all my heart. So he leads us and guides us and directs us. It said over in the first chapter of Revelation, it said that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So I'm going to tell you, I can do without a lot of things, but I can't hardly make it without the Spirit of God. I need the Spirit of the Lord to lead me, teach me. You know, the Spirit of God teaches us also. This Bible is just a dead letter without it, without the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of the Lord. And it just scares the life out of me when we get to thinking we know more than God does. I want to tell you, when you get to where you do not allow people to be led of the Spirit of God, we're heading towards modernism quicker than we any of us have any idea. In Romans chapter 8, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how you know that you are a son of God. We know we've passed unto death, unto life, because he's given to us his spirit. I want you to know, because we love the brethren, we are sons of God because we are led by the Spirit of God. When somebody gets saved, we do not tell them they're saved. There's been a bunch of them raised up here and look at me and grin, wait for me to let them know that they've been born again. That ain't my job. how the Spirit of God is to tell them. There's been a lot of people talk to me about uniting with the church, what they need to do. That ain't my job. God will place you where He needs you to be. I don't need to get caught up in trying to take over the Spirit of God. When we get to the place when we tell people God is not leading you here or leading you there, that is wrong. Amen. That ain't our job. As many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We go on and read that a little further, and it says, "For we have not received the spirit of what? Bondage." We're living in a time today, to according to a lot of us, we have received the spirit of bondage. There should be liberty. Why is our liberty in the house of God? Because the Spirit is there. Where the Spirit is, there's liberty. So we've not received the spirit of bondage. We're not bound up, or we shouldn't be. We should be able to feel free to serve God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again into the fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So hereby, that's how we know He dwells in us and how we dwell in Him, because He's given to us His Spirit. How do we know when we're saved? Because we've been born again of the Spirit from above. He lets us know when we've been saved by His grace. I realize we walk by faith and not by sight. Yep. I realize that, but I love the Old Testament and the old scriptures over there where it talks about a fiery cloud by night and a pillar cloud by day. I'm telling you, I don't believe this is supposed to be so hard. I believe he set it up in a way that we'll know what He'd have us to do. I want you to know, the night I got called to preach, I knew I got called to preach. I'm telling you, there was no doubt in my mind. I was sitting back there on the left-hand side of the house. I was sitting back there, and I was praying the Lord to give me something to do, and I thought it was going to be get up and testify, something like that. He'd done it before. And I was praying. I said, Lord, just give me something to do. And He said, preach my word. And I want you to know, you could have knocked me out of the seat. I got up and went the other direction. I didn't want to have no part of it, but I knew what He said. When I left the Rocky Mound and went to Pastor Hunter's Point, I told my wife my plans was never move my membership. I thought, I don't care how many churches I pastor, I'll never move. I'm going to stay at Rocky Mount. I saw Bobby Hill do it, a few more do it. I'll leave my membership there. I'll pastor wherever you want me to, Lord, but I'm staying at Rocky Mount. That was my plan. We hadn't been here 2 months. And we went to leave one day, and I looked at her, and I said, the Lord ever led you to join there? And she said, yeah, He's leading me to join. And I was like, He is me too. What's wrong with this? You know, that ain't the plan, Lord. That ain't what I had figured out. That ain't the way I want to do this. I'll pastor them if you want me to. I'll do the best I can, but I want to stay at Rocky Mount. We get in business meeting. They all open the doors that morning. No movement. We get in business. We open the doors, and I look, and here she come. I looked over at Brother Bill, and I said, come on, Brother Bill. And Brother Bill didn't know what I was talking about. We've got to follow God. And I want you to know, it may not be your plan. It may not be what you want to do. It may not even make sense. But I want you to know, follow the Spirit of the Lord. Over in Exodus, in the last chapter the 40th chapter of Exodus, and Moses had finished the work, and he was raising up the tabernacle. And the Bible says, and he reared it up in the 33rd verse, and he said he reared it up in the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and he set up the hanging of the court and the gate of Moses. And so Moses finished the work. And then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I want you to know we're going to see some pictures of here of something to come. The cloud was above the tabernacle. It hung out above it. I want you to know it was there by day. If you want to go on and read, we might read in a second, but why would you go on and read there? And they didn't go nowhere. They did not leave unless the cloud moved. But when it moved, they'd rear up the tabernacle. They'd take her back up and they'd move with her. Moses said, Lord, if you will not go with us, take us not. Don't send us. And the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward on their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day. Help me, Lord, slow down. And the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and afar was on it by night, and the sight of the house of all of Israel without throughout their journeys. So if the cloud moved, they moved. If the cloud didn't move, they stayed still. I want you to know that's the way we should be today. When the cloud moves, the Spirit of God moves, we should move. But if it don't move, we should stay still. Just stay where we're at. It said the cloud was there above the tabernacle, and it was such a way that Moses couldn't enter. We're going to read to you in a minute about the temple, and it was the same way. When they brought the Ark of the Covenant in to start with, the cloud was above the temple. And I want you to know this cloud represents the Holy Spirit. That's what it is for them to be able to see it. One time Moses went in outside the tabernacle and talked through the door, and the cloud come down to the door. It represented the Spirit of God. The door represented Jesus. I want you to realize the Spirit of God is so important for us. We're nothing without it. So the Spirit, the cloud hung out over the tabernacle. It was letting them know it was God's house. The house Moses had done reared it up. Now we're going to fix and go read to you about where Solomon, he built the house of God, the temple of God. They brought in the Ark of the Covenant. When they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, once again, that cloud hung up over it. And then we're going to read to you after Solomon prayed and dedicated the house. Then the priests was just like Moses. They wasn't able to go in and do their work because the Spirit of God was there so strong. These was all pictures of something was to come, something we can't make it without. I believe in all my heart our old churches today, we have the Comforter. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and direct us in all things. And that's what separates us from everything else. I want you to know how it dwells among us. For me today, what separates me from the world, what separates you from the world, is how because he dwells in you. That's the only reason. What separates this church from any other nomination? Because he dwells in it. That's the only reason. Listen to me, church. We may be just a little number here, and we may somewhere down the road before he comes back, it may not be a handful of us left. But we need to hold on to him. Amen. We need to hold on to what we've been taught, and we need to hold on to that. We never need to get to the point that we think we know more than God does. The only reason we have today is because a little group of people went from a little house up here. There was a man sat there, well, a lot of y'all don't know this. That man sat right there, you know what he done? He signed his house over to build a building right here before it ever organized into a church. You know why he was willing to do that? Because the Holy Spirit of God said so. Amen. He was willing to follow God. Him and Sister Teresa signed her a house over. Could have lost everything. But the Spirit of God said so and he done it. That's how important this is. Your children, your grandchildren wouldn't be hearing the gospel right here today. If it hadn't been for a handful of people, we think there's a few here today. When they first began to meet here, it probably wasn't nowhere near this number. But they held on. And then still different ones started coming in. And she started growing. The Holy Spirit of God said, come. She's a light, a city that sat here on a hill. He is that light. He's what shines in me and you, and he's what shines here at Hilltop. Not Jeff Likens, and not the deacons, not the preachers of this church. The Holy Spirit of God is the light of this place. He's the cloud that sets over. He's the fire that comes down and consumes the altars. Go with us over in Chronicles. In the fifth chapter, in the ending of the fifth chapter, they're finishing up the temple and they brought in the Ark of the Covenant. And when they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, it says, so the priest could not stand to minister the reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I believe that Ark of the Covenant represented Christ. I believe when they brought it into the house, there was a cloud there and the Spirit was there in such a way that they couldn't even minister. Now, if it's to go read to you again, after Solomon had finished his prayer, and I want you to realize the Spirit of God come in and consumed. And it was once again in such a way that they could not minister. I've been here a time or two, a couple of 3 years ago for one time. We come in here and started off a youth revival, and Brother Glenn Pettigold back there said, we need to pray. We come in on a Friday night, and that's what we done. We prayed, and it went from there. Me and Brother David Swindle was going around here. There was people everywhere. They was in the floor. Me and Brother David was trying to do our job. We was walking over lost people seeking the Lord. We didn't know what to do. We could not minister. We could not do our job. You know why? The Holy Spirit of God was here in such a manner. We could do nothing. He didn't need us to do nothing. That's how important it is. That's when lost souls get saved. That's when the church gets lifted up. People follow God. We can't do it without it. You can have the best preacher in the world, and y'all ain't got that, but you can have the weakest preacher in the world and the Spirit of God be among you, and he can use that preacher. You can have the best one, the most popular one, and I want you to know without the Spirit of God, it'll be dead. We need the Spirit of the Lord. It's so important for us to follow after God. It leads us, it directs us, it takes us and shows us things. What do you think called Paul up into the third heaven? It was the Spirit of God. And he saw things that the eyes or you'd not be able to even speak or even repeat. What brought him up there? It was the Spirit of God. What took John to a place that he could see the Lamb's wife? It was the Spirit of God. What made Moses and the children of Israel through the wilderness? It was the Spirit of God. What let you know that you was lost? It was the Spirit of God. What let you know that you was saved? It was the Spirit of God. What let you know when you were supposed to unite with this church? It was the Spirit of God. Solomon had repented and prayed. Now when Solomon had made the end of his praying, the fire came down from heaven. You ever remember a time when the fire come down from heaven? The house had done been built. God had done built a house. Jesus come and he set his house up and he began to put the materials in his house. But then the fire come down to the heaven, and it was set apart. And Solomon had made the end of praying, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And this is in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. You ever remember reading something like that before it happened in Acts? And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Jesus came. He walked upon this earth. He was baptized to John. John come to prepare a people to baptize them, preach to them. They got saved, and he baptized them. Then Jesus went up on a mountain. They called unto him who he would. He laid hands on them, prayed over them, and they was made apostles, and the first church, I believe, was organized. All the material was there. And when he finished the work, just like Moses did, when he finished the work, they brought in, just like they brought in the Ark of the Covenant, just like at the temple, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and far. And that church was gave authority and power. The Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, come to the church. That's what happened. There was a picture there at the tabernacle when the cloud come in and Moses wasn't able to enter in. It was a picture of what happened when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in. Jesus said, "I will come unto you. I will come unto you." He come to us in the way of the Comforter, of the Holy Spirit. And there's times when we're where we need to be, the Spirit of God hears in such a way that we just can't hardly enter into the place. I tell you who can't enter into it when it's that way, and that's Satan. That's why it's so important that we have the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know if I've preached on this type subject for a while, but I don't think I've ever seen the pictures of the tabernacle and the temple and the pillar. On the day of Pentecost, there was stuff happening there that people just couldn't believe. I wanted to tell you, when he finished the work there on the tabernacle, there was things happening there people couldn't believe. When the temple was dedicated, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, there was things happening there that they just couldn't outbelieve. Day of Pentecost, I don't understand it all. There was people, I'd be talking in, let's just say, Spanish. And Brandon understood what I was saying. I've never experienced nothing like that. There was power there like we've probably never seen before that day. But I want to tell you, the only reason we've not seen it like that is because our faith is so weak. I don't believe the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit has ever changed or ever will change. So when he called John by the Spirit and took him up in the mountain, he showed him the Lamb's bride. He showed him the New Jerusalem. I believe he's still showing us stuff today. He showed them, this is my house at the temple. Even though no house can contain him, but it was his house. The tabernacle, he showed them right there, this is my house. And they moved from place to place. They didn't move without him. I pray we never at Hilltop will get to the point when we start telling people that you're following the Spirit, but you're not. I'm going to tell you that's not our job.
Amen.
Now I will say this. If somebody gets up and they do something, and I've seen that happen, in that same revival a few years ago, and I don't mean to, that we had such a good revival. And there were some things, a time, one, two nights, there were some things happened that just wasn't of God. Not every spirit is of God.
Amen.
And that's what I got up and read that night. You'll know if it's not of God. If the cloud ain't moving, it ain't of God. It just ain't right. We know it. That's what my point is today. He can show you. He can show you.
Amen.
You can say you don't know, but he can show you. You just got to want to know. And when you want to know more than anything else,
yeah,
he'll take you up on that mountain.
Yeah.
He'll show you. But you got to want it. It'll be a cloud hanging over you. People go around saying, I feel like I got a cloud over me all the time. Amen, we do. We got a cloud hanging over us day in, day out. A fiery cloud by night. I want you to know that's a puffy cloud by day. Hangs over us all the time. It's something we can know about, something we can see.
Amen.
You just got to look for it in the Spirit. So, y'all ain't many today. But I have been able to see the bride of the Lamb.
Amen.
I wish the house had been full. But you know, it's more important it being full with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Than it is with people. So nobody may have not got nothing out of this but me. But all those things that happened back then, there was a reason for them. There was a picture of something to come. And I don't guess I'd ever saw. I'd saw those pictures about how they wasn't able to minister. They wasn't able to do their work because the Spirit of God was so heavy. But I don't guess I'd ever paid no attention to when the work was finished. When it was already built. When everything was reared up. When it was took care of. When Jesus finished it. That's when he made it manifest. So he done like Moses. He done finished the work. Done like Solomon. He done prayed the prayer. And he did. All the work had been done. Then it made itself manifest. I think that's pretty cool. So don't listen to me, young folks, if you don't ever remember nothing else I said. 50 years from now, you remember this. 50 years from now, when they tell you it's okay for just to tell them they're okay, they prayed long enough, it's okay to tell them. You tell them, no, it's not okay. The Holy Spirit of God will let them know. And when they say this one can unite with the church and this one can't unite over here and all this, you tell them that ain't right. The Holy Spirit of God places them in the bodies He pleases them. Amen. And when we get word, we tell this and they can talk and this one needs to sit down, you'll know that ain't right. There should be, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We've not been saved unto the spirit of bondage. We've been saved unto the spirit of liberty. That's my thought. If you don't know where you stand today, you can know. Just let the Spirit take you to a place to show you. He can show you where you're at today.